You guys ought to run for office. Are you kidding?
He's really easy to get along with once you learn how to handle him.
Not a chance.
The Mike Buck Show.
When you find out the wheeling and dealing that those guys have to do, how they can live with themselves, to be honest. No way. We're from the outside looking in. But I'm going to tell you something. That's ridiculous.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, News Radio 830 KHVH.
If we had really, really tough ways to beat the system, then everybody would be happy. You'd be paying about the same as you're paying now, but that would be consistent with what you earn.
Live and local radio.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Aloha and welcome to the Drew Lawrence Show, your guide to living the enlightened life. Aloha, Drew.
Aloha. How are you? Welcome to the Drew Lawrence Show. I am Drew Lawrence, and here we are trying to expand your ability to live an enlightened life. Today we have a really, really interesting show for you, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned for this. Today we have the guest, our honored guest, Dr. Markus Schmicke, actually all the way from Germany. And Dr. Schmicke wrote a wonderful book called Wutzdu, The Origin of Feng Shui. So Wutzdu, or Vasati, as many of you may know, is Vedic architecture, or the art and design of spatial relationships, so that that spatial relationship is very auspicious or favorable to you. So this is building houses, building commercial buildings, any kind of building, temples. Of course, in India, they used Vastu to build these magnificent temples, which stand for hundreds of years, as you're probably familiar with. And this is also they used to build entire cities, etc. So I found this to be one of the absolute best books that I've read on this subject matter. So Dr. Markus Schmicke will be here with us on the show a little bit later. So it'd be well worth your while to tune into that. All right, so let's begin by talking a little bit about Vedic astrology, as we normally do at the opening. And, of course, just yesterday, we had the eclipse, and I talked a little bit about it last week. The eclipse actually took place in the sign of Cancer. So let me say something about that, because I never made much of a distinguishing of the difference. Everything we do on this show is calculated in terms of Vedic astrological calculation, otherwise known as Jyotish. And in terms of Vedic astrological calculation, it is different than the Western system that you find in the newspaper under horoscopes. My producer Sonia was telling me that a lot of people are having Leo parties out there in Hawaii today, and that would mean they're born in Leo. But interestingly enough, according to Vedic calculation, the if your birth is in Leo, you must have been born between August 16th and September 15th. That is a Leo. Why is it different? The reason it's different is Vedic astrology migrated west. Vedic is the original system dating back to about 3000 BC, India. It migrated west back in the day, much like the spice trade. The Greeks got hold of it when the Greek civilization was in its heyday. Something is always lost in transmission from one place to another, in translation from one language to another. And the Greeks ended up with a modified or altered version. This they passed on down to us, and this is what we received, and it is what you find in the newspaper under horoscopes. That is what we would call the Western system of astrological calculation. Now, it is different than the Vedic system. It is some 23 degrees off. And, of course, there's a lot of conjecture and difference of opinion between the two systems and the practitioners of those two systems. But if you check with any astronomer, you will find out that the Western system is not correct. correctly calculated. The Vedic system is because the earth spins on its axis and it has a slight wobble. So it actually, every year, the precession of the equinoxes, which means when the sun enters 0 degrees of Aries on or about March 22nd, it goes backwards 50 seconds every year. And that's the precession or the going backwards of the equinox. And that causes the difference in calculation. So you may have Leo parties, but the Leo technically takes place between August 16th and September 15th. And right now, if you're born between July 16th and August 15th, then that is Cancer, according to the Vedic calculation. All right, so let us turn our attention to the weekly business planner. The business planner is a general calculation. We provided it last week with our first show as well, and plan to provide it for you every week. This is a general calculation. It's not specific to each or any of you. Naturally, it'd be pretty hard to do that in this kind of a format. And the way I've organized this for you is very simple. Gold, silver, bronze, and gray. Those are the days that we can have, any given day. Gold days, silver days, bronze days, and gray days. Now, I thought I would use that system because it's familiar to many, many people. And the Olympics is coming up as well, so I guess we'll hear a little bit more about that in the near future, coming up from Beijing. So gold days, as you can imagine, would be highly favorable days for success in all your endeavors. Silver days would be very favorable days for success in your endeavors and your business decisions. Bronze days would be your everyday average day. It would be okay. You know, nothing great, but nothing bad. So just an average day. So bronze is also favorable enough. And gray days would be problematic days and days that really should be avoided for important work. Now, what would this encompass? When should you pay attention to this, in other words? You don't want to sign contracts on gray days. You don't want to start a business. You don't want to purchase a very important piece of equipment or an appliance. You don't want to purchase a car on a gray day. You don't want to buy a fridge on a gray day. You don't want to sign a contract on a gray day. It's kind of what could go wrong probably would go wrong on a gray day. Sometimes you might be able to slip under the karmic net if you're fortunate enough, but sometimes you won't. So it's better just to avoid the gray days as far as possible. The gold days, the silver days, these would be exceptional days to purchase a car or purchase this and that. And, yes, marriage as well. I'm getting a question from my producer, Sonia, and from Justin. He's asking about marriage. Yes, marriage, definitely not on a gray day. I can maybe sometime I'll talk about Paul McCartney's marriage because I did an in-depth analysis of that marriage and what happened and how it went south, what went wrong with that marriage. So let's get to the coming week here. One thing we can say for sure that today, Saturday, August 2nd, it is a double gray day because the moon is with two different malefic planets in the sky. And that will extend through Sunday, tomorrow. So avoid today and tomorrow for very, very important work or purchases or decisions for that matter. Now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in other words, pretty much the whole week, are bronze days. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are all bronze days. That means an average day to do what you plan to do, and you can probably go forward with most things. The following Saturday, a week from today, will be a gray day again. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm giving you too many gray days, but the month of August is not one of the best months, frankly, as far as good days are concerned. If you want to look ahead, the gold days will be the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. But we'll get to that again next week. All right. So we're going to head out to the break now. And after the break, we will be very pleased to bring you Dr. Marcus Shmika, expert in Vasati, or sometimes known as Vasti, Vedic architecture. He's here all the way from Germany, and we're going to be asking him various questions and find out the difference between Vasati and Feng Shui, and how we can make our homes, businesses, and spaces more harmonious and therefore more successful.
Hi, this is Drew Lawrence, inviting you to join me every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KHVH News Radio 830 for The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. We will be discussing a wide variety of interesting topics and enlightening subjects, among them spirituality, yoga, meditation, Vedic astrology, business and success strategy, human potential, relationships, female empowerment, healing, the power of gemstones, and technology. I'm sure there will be something of interest for you, especially if you're a person who is trying to access your higher purpose or you are seeking to expand the spiritual meaning in your life. We will also feature interviews with fascinating guests from around the world on a variety of subjects. So please, join us right here every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. for The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life.
Dr. Shmika on the phone. He is in Germany, after all. So while we're waiting for him to arrive, I'll just maybe say a couple more things about who he is. Dr. Shmika is the advisory board chairman for the International Institute of Vedic Sciences. He is the dean of the Vasati, or Vastu department of the Florida Vedic College. He is the president of the European Academy of Vedic Sciences. He is also the director of the Vedic Academy in Germany. And if that's not enough, he's the honorary visiting professor of the Dev Sanskriti University in Haridwar, India. So Dr. Shmika comes with many, many credentials. And we look forward to speaking with him. Now, in the meantime, while we're waiting for that to happen, and hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of him, let us turn to the Spirit in Action segment. And this is where I ask you, the viewer, to send in some experiences that you may have had that are unusual, coincidental, really that it would indicate spirit operating in your life. That's what Spirit in Action is about. Remember, our email is drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. That's drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. All one word, you know that. And, of course, the website is www.drewlawrence.com. So please send in any of your great stories and, you know, synchronistic experiences, and we will include them in our Spirit in Action segment. So this came to me from one of my clients in Ireland, and she says, I got into my car to go home one night after her evening college class was over, so she was taking evening classes. She says, I always call upon my angels as soon as I get into the car so that I will have a safe journey. It was about 11 p.m. and a very dark night that night. All the traffic lights were green on my way home, so I was going fairly quickly, fairly fast with my car. Just then, I heard a whisper in my ear that said, slow down. There's a horse and foal around the corner. So a horse and her little baby around the corner. That's what she heard in her ear. She says, I thought it was kind of weird, but I listened to the voice, and I slowed down. Then, just around the corner, I saw a horse walking side by side with her foal right down the middle of the road. And amazingly, that's exactly what she had heard whispered in her ear. That's what she had seen. She continues, at the time, this was truly amazing for me. Needless to say, I was glad I listened to the voice. So that's a wonderful story. So I guess the question is, do you listen to the voice? Do you listen to your inner voice? Do you listen to your intuition when you're told to do things? Okay, so that's Spirit in Action. Please send in your stories. We would be very, very grateful to receive them. DrewLawrenceShow@gmail.com. Now, I understand we have contacted Dr. Marcus Schmicke, and he is on the line. Dr. Schmicke, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's very early here in Germany. It's around 5 o'clock.
Yes, well, you are very kind to join us, so thank you so much. I had already introduced you, so if you don't mind, we'll just begin. Why don't you tell us to begin with, Dr. Schmicke, what are the differences between and similarities between Vasati, I think a lot of people know it as Vastu, and Feng Shui?
That's a very complex question. Vasati or Vastu is the Indian art of building a house or any kind of artifact or building according to the laws of nature, whereas Feng Shui is the Chinese. So these two arts or sciences are as different or as related to each other as the Indian and the Chinese culture are. But there are lots of hints or even scientific proof that Vasati is actually historically the origin of Feng Shui, that originally this art developed in India as many other arts and sciences, and then later it went through the Himalayas to the north, and it came to China, and it modified, and it actually changed according to the geographical circumstances. So this is a kind of historical answer. On the other side, Vasati is very deeply spiritually rooted, as the Indian culture or the ancient Vedic culture is a very deep spiritual culture, whereas Feng Shui is very deeply mystically rooted in magic, as the Chinese culture is a very magical culture.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. What are your experiences with, you say, Vasati? How can people use it to benefit them in their lives? Can you give us some examples, perhaps?
Yes, of course. Vasati works on four levels. As any system which helps the people or which deals with a person as a whole, it works on four levels. There's a physical level, the energetic level, the karmic level, and the spiritual. So if you want to create a space in which a person feels well and develops well and can develop his potential, we have to develop all these four levels. So the most important level is the level of the directions. The directions have very specific energies and they influence a person. For example, the east is the direction from where the positive energy of the sun comes through the sunrise, where as the north is the direction where the positive energy of the earth and the moon comes from. This is the two directions in Vasati from where the main energies are coming. It's like global flows of energy. So these two flows are most important for the well-being and the health of a person. And we have to make sure that in the house, in each room, these two energies are very much present. So like windows in the east and in the north are very important for the health. For example, if we don't have windows in this direction in the houses, then the immune system of a person or the energy level of a person may be reduced very much. And there's one very important aspect of it, because the northeast is the direction where these two energy flows meet, the northern and the eastern energy flows meet. So you have to be very particular, very careful about what you have in the northeast of your house, what you have in the northeast of any room in your house or on the plot of your house. Is there something which is not pure, like a toilet or the garbage place, then this may influence the health or the development of your future, especially of your children, very much. So therefore, the first thing you shall do is go to the northeast of your house, of your plot, of your rooms, and make it open, make it clear, make it pure. So my experience after looking at a few thousands of houses and places is that the quality of the northeast very much influences the quality of the life of the people.
Oh, that's fascinating. I've heard that, well, in fact, I read it in your book and a couple other Vastu books, that your main door, the front door, the door that you use most frequently, should either face east or north. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is related to the same principle that a strong positive energy flow is coming from the east or from the north. But you might also have the door in the west or the south, because it's a very precise sign. So in each of the four directions, you have certain areas where the doors is placed very well, and other areas where the door actually is placed very badly. So this means if you place your door in the south or in the west, you have to be very precise. A difference of half a meter can be a difference between fortune and misfortune. For example, if the door is in the south, it has to be slightly eastern from the middle of the southern area, then it will have a very strong positive material benefit, whereas a door in the east has a very strong spiritual benefit. So each of the direction has certain kind of a quality for the main entrance. The good thing about the east is that you can have the door practically everywhere in this direction.
Oh, because the east is so favorable. Excellent. Well, we're going to return, Dr. Shmika. We're going to go to the break right now. Our guest is Dr. Marta Shmika, all the way from Germany. He is an expert on Vasati or Vastu Vedic architecture. And we're heading off to the break, and we'll be back with Dr. Shmika in a few moments. So stay tuned. Thank you.
Channel News Center, I'm Linda De La Cruz. In his weekly Saturday radio address, President Bush said lifting the ban on offshore drilling will help the United States in two important ways.
First, lifting the ban would allow our nation to take advantage of a large and reliable source of domestic oil. Experts believe that these restricted areas could eventually produce about 18 billion barrels of oil. Second, lifting the ban would create new opportunities for American workers and businesses.
In other news, the FBI says 7-year-old Ray Boss is safe after her father has been taken into custody in Baltimore. Clark Rockefeller is accused of making elaborate plans to take his daughter by fleeing a social worker during a supervised visit in Boston last weekend and setting up two drivers to take them to New York City. Meanwhile, here at home, a task force has been determined it would cost $2 million to $11 million to hold a state constitutional convention in Hawaii next year. The figures were announced yesterday by Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona. Voters in the November general election will decide if a constitutional convention will be held. If approved, the legislature would determine the dates, location, number of delegates, and level of funding. Hawaii's last constitutional convention was held in 1978. A settlement regarding the contract of former UH football coach June Jones could be announced next week. The Honolulu Advertiser is reporting that Jones is expected to pay $200,000 for getting out of his contract 6 months early to work as head coach for Southern Methodist University. UH wanted Jones to pay $400,000, the amount stated in his contract, if he were to leave before June 30th of this year. In island weather, it's mostly cloudy with scattered showers, overnight low 73. Winds are easterly at 10 to 15 miles per hour. I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
Fortunate to have Dr. Mark Shmika, who is an expert in the Vedic art of Vasati, or Vastu, spatial relationships and architecture. Marcus, what are the most important or practical Vasati principles that a person could follow in their house to get the most benefit? I would recommend, of course, they read your book, your excellent book, Vastu, the Origin of Feng Shui. But just what are some of the principles, just quick and easy, that people might bear in mind?
Yes, we spoke about the importance of the northeast already.
Yes, we did.
So have a look at this direction and make it as clear, as light, as open as possible in your room. After looking at the northeast, you shall have a look at the exact opposite direction. The northeast represents your future, whereas the southwest represents your past. So please make sure that the southwest is very strong in your house, or means like it should be closed, it should be heavy. So bring all the heavy things which you find in the northeast of your house, take them and bring them to the southwest. Take the things from the east, bring them to the west. Take the things from the north, bring them to the south, so that there is a kind of an imbalance of weight between northeast and the southwest in the house. This is very important principle. Another principle is, this is very similar to Feng Shui, keep the center of your house open and free also, because this is the place from where all the energy is being distributed to all the different directions.
Right. That's the Brahmastan, isn't it?
Right. It's the Brahmastan. Brahma is the god of creation. So he's residing in the center of the house and from there organizing the whole energetic field of the house.
So there has to be clarity and some space always in the center of the house or the center of a room. Is that the idea?
Yeah. It's a kind of a fractal system. Whatever refers to the house, it refers to the individual room, like the living room or sleeping room also.
Okay. Very good. Let us just tell our guests that if you'd like to call in and talk to Dr. Marcus Shmika, ask a question, please call us at 521-8383. That's 521-8383. And if you're calling from the other islands, then call 888-565-8383. All right, Marcus, How did you personally get into Vasati? What led you down this very fascinating path?
Actually, I'm a physicist, so I studied physics, and my main topic of research was gravitational theory. So I was actually dealing with spaces, higher dimensional spaces, and the quality of space. But this is a very abstract topic. So I was very happy one day, friend of mine coming from India and bringing an ancient Sanskrit text dealing with architecture and vastu, and I saw that all this scientific knowledge which I had about space, mathematics of space, and qualities of space actually are very practically applied in this ancient science of Indian architecture called Vasati. And I was very happy to have a practical application, and since that time I researched about the scientific background of this architecture. So actually I found 12 laws from which all the thousands and thousands and millions of principles of Indian or traditional science of architecture and all ancient cultures can be derived from. So that it is actually not a mythology or a question of belief, but it is actually a science.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you being a physicist and being scientifically trained and qualified, you would, test out these principles according to scientific testing and measurement and find that they actually proved to be true and they had a resonance of fact.
Exactly. In the course of my research later, this is just 5 years ago, I found that all the measurements and proportions and all the principles of planning a house, a new house, according to this ancient science of architecture, can be derived from one particular mathematical formula only, which comes from physics. So this is a formula which was discovered in the research of a Soviet Union scientist just recently. And from this formula, which is the resonance formula of all matter in the universe, practically all the principles of Vedic architecture of Vasati can be derived from. So it is a pure science which has nothing to do with belief or culture or climate or something else.
So this has nothing... Does this have any kind of connection to Fibonacci numbers or anything like that?
Yes, the Fibonacci number is actually a very complicated number. It's 1.618, and I can't even remember the next digit of this number. But according to this formula, which was discovered by German and Soviet Union scientists, the Fibonacci number is actually the most easiest solution of this formula, and therefore it is applied in nature everywhere, and it is also applied in architecture everywhere. Actually, according to this formula, this number is as simple as number 1 in the decimal system, which we are applying normally. But nature doesn't use the decimal system, but it uses a different kind of formula. And this formula actually is the basis of Vasati. And according to this formula, the Fibonacci number is the number 1.
Okay. Now, we're getting near the end of our interview. I want to make sure and say, now, if people have greater interest in this subject matter, Marcus, how can they get a hold of you, for example? Because you have your own school.
Yes,
teach people, and you have also, I think, correspondence courses, do you not?
Yeah, that's right. We started an academy which teaches Vasati, and not just Vasati, but also Vedic astrology and Ayurveda, all these related ancient Vedic sciences, through seminars, also in English language, and through correspondence courses and online courses through the Internet. So this academy was founded 12 years ago, 1996. It is the Vedic Academy, And right now we are transferring this academy into a university. We transformed it. We cooperate with an Indian university in the Himalaya. So if you want to study with us, you can just visit our website at vedicacademy.com.
Vedicacademy.com.
Yeah, vedic-academy.com. And you can actually directly enter into our online campus and check it out.
Okay, so it's vedic-academy.com. If you want further information from Dr. Marcus Shmika about the different programs, including Vasati, that are offered at his school, and they are turning it into a university curriculum. Now, the book that I've read is Vastu, The Origin of Feng Shui by Dr. Shmika. Do you have other books as well, Doctor?
Yeah, I've wrote about 7 or 8 books on Vasati, and this one which you read was my first book, so much more elaborate books have been written about it. And after,
are they available in English as well?
These books are available, but only not in a printed matter, but as a PDF or e-book. So, if you visit our website, just write me an email, and we can you can get access to the PDFs of these English books. And also, after discovering, actually, when I was asking one of the greatest Vastu masters in India, he told me that if you practice Vastu or Vasati without astrology, it's like a criminal activity. So when I realized it, I started to learn and teach about Vedic astrology, and I've wrote like 5-6 books on Vedic astrology also, and the relationship between astrology and the science of space or architecture. Because architecture
Wonderful.
Is actually the application of astrology in space. And it's very important to connect these two sciences with each other.
Excellent. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Shmika, for appearing on the Drew Lawrence Show. And if you want to get a hold of Dr. Shmika, please do so. And to expand your further study of Vedic understanding, Vedic knowledge, Vedic tradition, that which comes from India, Vastu, Vasati, and Vedic astrology. So thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Okay. So next, we're going to turn our attention to our topic for the day. And our topic for the day is rate your mates. How to determine your compatibility with anybody. We're specifically talking about relationships, intimate relationships, male-female relationships. Now, we're going to use the Vedic principles of the five essential elements of creation. If you break it down like this, believe me, it works every time, and it's very simple. There are five basic principles of creation: earth, water, fire, air, ether. Everything is composed of these elements. You'll find these elements everywhere. So what do we look for to begin with? Earth. Earth represents the physical compatibility. Two people having an attraction for each other. All right? It's easy to see how many people you might be attracted to just by virtue of their physical appearance or their little mannerisms. You know, the old adage, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and people like to surround themselves with some form of beauty relative to their own perception. So even personal aroma can be something that draws you to a person. There's been studies done on this. They're called pheromones. That if somebody doesn't appreciate how the other person smells, they won't be attracted to them. So there actually have been studies. So physical compatibility. I'll tell you what, if you get some paper and get a pencil and have in mind who you're doing your compatibility with. And let's test it out right now. Why not? So let's give, if for your person that you're thinking about, if the physical compatibility, let's give that 3 points if you're very strongly attracted physically. Let's give it 2 points if you're moderately attracted. And let's give it 1 or 0 if you're not very physically attracted to this person. The next element that we apply is the water element, the water principle. Water represents emotion. It represents emotional feelings. We need absolutely in intimate relationships an emotional bond. This is really important because we need to care about this person. It's easy to be together when you're having fun, you're having a great time, or you're at a party, or, you know, you don't need to consult somebody to find out if you had a good time on your date last night. And you know if you had a great time. But for long-term compatibility, the emotional attachment and the emotional resonance must be there. Okay? So water represents emotional compatibility. Oftentimes, people will have initially, which is not really a great idea, a lot of sexual activity early on in relationships when that should actually be saved for later on, not early on. And they'll become very attached or very intimately connected because of so much of this physical intimacy. And they'll think that that's love, but in fact, it's not love. It's just an attachment, and more often than not, an attachment to that physical intimacy. So this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about true love formed over time, whereby you really care what happens to that person, and you'll be there for them no matter what, you know, during the bad days as well as the good days. Okay, so we're going to head out to the break right now, and when we get back, we're going to continue with our Rate Your Mate and determining the compatibility with any person in your life. So give some points for the water element for the compatibility of emotion. 3 points is a high compatibility, 2 points is a moderate compatibility, and 1 or 0 is a low emotional compatibility. And we'll see you back right here on The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life, after the break.
If you're looking for some direction in your life and want to see how things will likely unfold for you, why not have a Vedic astrological consultation? If you're on the verge of making an important life decision, if you feel stuck in some way and you need help in moving forward, this may be the ideal time to take advantage of the wisdom of this ancient science of Vedic astrology. We can look at your personal life, professional and business life, relationships, including marriage compatibility, when to begin a business, when to buy or sell a house, etc. We can determine the success potential of any business or endeavor under the sun. Timing is everything, and your success in any area of your life depends upon the right timing. With more than 30 years' experience, why not let us help you determine your best strategies and strengths? For your Vedic astrological consultation, we invite you to log on to our website at www.drewlawrence.com.
We are back right here on The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. And if you're with us before the break, then you know that we are busy rating your mates. We are figuring out how compatible you are with any person on earth. We're talking about intimate compatibility here because, you know, choosing relationships is one of the most difficult things that we all face in life. And the term divorce is a great testament to that statement, unfortunately. All right, so we talked about physical compatibility, and we talked about emotional compatibility. 3 points if you're very compatible, 2 points if it's moderate, and 1 or 0 points if it isn't very compatible at all. Okay, let's turn to the third element of compatibility. It is fire. Fire is ideological compatibility. It's values. It's beliefs. It's what you stand for. It's what you represent. And if you're on a different page than your mate, this can sometimes create a lot of friction. Depends. Let's take some examples. You might be a Democrat, and your mate or your partner might be a Republican. So in many families, that wouldn't really matter that much. In some families that are very strongly politically motivated, that might be all-out war. You may be a vegetarian and be very compassionate with regard to animals. And if you're about to marry a man who's a butcher, that's not really going to work for you, I don't think. So you may be somebody who doesn't drink, or your partner may be somebody who does drink, for example. You may be somebody, you may be a Muslim, and your partner may be a Jew. And we don't see a lot of that, but it does happen. So we have to know. I'll tell you where this really comes into play, and I've seen this many, many times over the years with my clients, that the man and the woman have a different ideological background or a spiritual background, but then and that's not really a conflict because they don't really follow it that much. In other words, they don't practice it with any conscious regularity. But then the children come along, and more often than not, people revert to what they learned in their own childhood. So now this one wants to raise the child bowing down 5 times a day to Mecca, which is Islamic tradition, and the other one, the other partner wants to take the child to the temple on the Sabbath. So this can represent a real conflict. So ideological compatibility is important. So with your spouse or with your partner on your piece of paper, write down 3 points if you have a high ideological compatibility. Write down 2 points if it's moderate. And write down 0 or 1 point if you have a low ideological compatibility. All right, let's move on to air. The fourth element is air. Air represents intellectual compatibility. This is the realm of ideas, opinions, communication. Does your boyfriend or your girlfriend talk about things that interest you besides cars and sports? Are you stimulated by his ideas? Are you stimulated by the way her mind works and what she thinks about? By far the greatest amount of time that we spend together in relationship is spent simply talking and communicating with each other, right? We do that more than anything. We do that way more than any kind of sexual intimacy. So it's really, really important. You will see couples who've been together for many years who oftentimes shut off. They're shut off completely, and they just tune out the other person. They don't hear them. Not the best circumstance. And you certainly do not want to head in that direction in a new relationship. I remember one time I was out to dinner, and I saw a couple who were out to dinner also, same restaurant. And it was a nice restaurant, you know, a good one. During their whole dinner, he read the newspaper and she read a book. And they never said a word to each other. I don't know if they looked at each other a couple of times, but it's as if, you know, it's very difficult to eat in a nice restaurant alone. You usually need to be with somebody or you feel uncomfortable. But there were these two people, but they were not at all appreciative of each other's company and what each other had to say. So intellectual compatibility is very, very important here. And you need to be able to share subjects of interest. Okay, so for intellectual compatibility, if you're really, really strong with your partner, then let's give it 3 points. High compatibility, if it's a moderate compatibility, then you can score 2 points. And if it is a low compatibility, you can give it 1 or 0 points for intellectual compatibility. All right. The last element that we investigate for rating your mate according to the five elements or five principles is ether or space. In Sanskrit, the word is akash. And this represents spiritual compatibility. Now, there's a small percentage of people out there who have realized their true spiritual nature. Meaning what? Meaning they know they're a soul. They know that the body is a temporary covering of the soul. They know the body is like the shell around the walnut. And sooner or later, the body begins to dwindle. And in fact, I think the radio show just before mine is all about aging. And that's the aging process where the body gets, one becomes ready to throw off that body. It's called death. And the soul is that spiritual spark that animates the body, that gives us life. And that's the part that's missing when death comes. The soul literally leaves the body. So spirituality is very important, and it's not to be neglected. For people who are materially motivated, well, this would not be an important category for compatibility. But for those of you who are spiritually conscious and spiritually aware, it should be also an important element for choosing a partner. And with ether or space, it is what does it represent? How important is spirituality in your life? And if it's really important and you're with somebody who's not interested in that, then that won't work for you. So if it's a strong compatibility, give it 3 points. If it's a moderate compatibility, give it 2. If it's low, give it 1 or 0. Add all that together for the five categories. A high compatibility will be 15 points. That means perfect score. A moderate compatibility would be around 10 points. And a low compatibility will be 7 or less. Okay? So that is how you rate your mate. Believe me, this system works. I invented it myself, and test it out. Now, thank you very much for tuning in. Coming up on our next week's show, we will have gemologist Kalindi Lawrence. And our discussion topic on that show will be the power of gemstones, precious gems, semi-precious gems, how they can help to improve your life, what they mean, how they actually have a vibration, and how that vibration can alter your experience in life. It can reduce problems and difficulties. It can raise your happiness quotient, and that's how it can work. So thank you very much. This has been Drew Lawrence.
Saturday at 5 p.m. Until then, may you live an enlightened life. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.drewlawrence.com.